We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. As we wind down the basketball season, the men's basketball team will be at home this week, Thursday night against the 25th-ranked Washington Huskies, and then on Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, the Washington State Cougars in town. The women will be on the road against the Washington schools. And a little bit later on in segment number 3, we'll talk sand volleyball, a really good program here at Cal. And they've got a tournament down in Tucson. They fortunately get out of the rain and the cold of Northern California for some beach volleyball down south. But joining me now is Grant Antisevich, sophomore from one of my favorite cities, Sydney, Australia. We were able to go there a couple of years ago for football and spend a week. And to me, Sydney's a lot like San Francisco, the Bay Area, and you've got this huge water effect, great culture, phenomenal food. So we had a wonderful time. When you came over here and saw San Francisco in this Bay Area for the first time, did it remind you of home when you got here?
Yeah, absolutely it did. Out of all the places I've been to in America, I think the Bay Area, specifically San Francisco, is probably most similar to Sydney. Yeah. The fact that you got the bay and the water and kind of the big city, and then you got suburbs outside across the bay. It's very similar. Yeah.
Seattle might be the other place that's similar in that. Now in Sydney, when we were there, of course, you've got to go to the Opera House. That's a must. And that was fun. And then usually you'd like to walk across the bridge that's in the harbor there. There was a rainy day the day we were supposed to do that. So here we've got the Golden Gate Bridge over there. It's a smaller bridge, not nearly the size of the Golden Gate. But the downtown area, Grant, what impressed me the most, first of all, people friendly. Two, cleanliness. Yeah. I mean, you watch all these people walking around, and yet you look down, there's no garbage on the sidewalks. People are friendly. You're really fortunate to having grown up in that environment.
Yeah, I'm very lucky and blessed to have grown up in Australia. Especially coming abroad, it kind of makes me appreciate just how special of a place it is. And, you know, every time I go back, I love it, you know. And, of course, it's special. It's where I was born. It's where I grew up. So, yeah, I absolutely love it there. Yeah.
looking at your bio and some of the notes is that growing up you were involved in a number of different sports, mm-hmm. your track and field, interesting combination, at least listed in the media guide, the high jump and the shot put.
Yeah.
I mean, those are kind of different sports. Yeah. Why those two?
I mean, we didn't have any sort of, like athletes who were like really focused on shot put and high jump. So I used to just fill in, but I was probably better at shot put than high jump because I feel like high jump to a certain extent requires technique. And the bend in my back, it wasn't for me. So I said, I'm going to stick to one.
Were you a spin guy with a shot put?
No, I did the glide. I didn't do spin. No. Okay. But it was on the side. I wasn't, I did it for like maybe 2 months out of the year, the two of them. So it was, it wasn't a full time thing at all. Yeah.
But rugby is a big deal over there. You played a little rugby, I assume?
Yeah, played a little rugby. I played rugby until I think it was ninth grade was my last year I played. I really enjoyed rugby. It was really fun, but I just didn't want to risk getting injured, you know. So basketball was my number one, so I had to – that's what I'll stop doing everything else at that point, sort of.
Can you explain to the folks listening what the rivalry is like in rugby between Australia and New Zealand? Can you explain? Is there anything here in the States that is comparable to that?
Probably the Ohio State, Michigan, from what people have told me, that kind of rivalry is similar to Australia and New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand's been kind of dominant the past decade, so they've been doing really well. But it's always a good rivalry, and it's always an intense and good match when Australia plays New Zealand. So I guess that would be the closest comparison, I'd say.
So now, tell us about the journey of coming to Cal. Tell us how that all transpired.
So pretty much it kind of all took off my senior year mm-hmm. in high school. We were coming on a basketball trip. My high school team came over from, I think it was, what year was it? So it's 2016 okay. from the start of, I think it was January 2017 we came over on a basketball trip. And so I sent out my video to a few schools, and then I sent one of the schools I sent it out to was Cal, and a few coaches at Cal got in contact with some coaches in Australia, and then talked to my high school coach, and then they watched me play in Australia, and then watched me when I came over here, and then they started talking to me, and then they just recruited me, and then after I came back from that trip, I pretty much went over about a month later. I think my visit was, in March or something like that. I came over and I committed pretty much right after I had my visit. Yeah.
Academics, the big thing? Basketball, what was the tipping point for you?
I mean, I was coming over first and foremost for basketball. So that was, I wanted to make sure that I was happy with the basketball. So obviously that's number one. But at the same time, like a kind of principle my coach told me was, he said, pick a place that you'd be happy to go, even if it wasn't for basketball. Mm-hmm. And of course, such a great academic opportunity, such an amazing school in such a great location, it all just was perfect. So it's an absolute no-brainer.
All right, you got to go back kind of to that part of the world earlier this season when you went to China. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about as close as anybody in your family is going to get to, watching a game in person. Tell us what that trip was like for you.
It was really fun. I had a lot of fun on that trip. I'd been to China once before. Hangzhou, the second place we mm-hmm. went to, was where I went with my high school team. But I think it was 2013 or 14 when I went with my high school team. But yeah, it was a great experience. I had so much fun, traveling with the team, with the coaches. We really all bonded and had a great time together. And it was just really fun to experience like basketball in another country. I think was the best thing. Being able to practice in different gyms, and I kind of talked about it before, but I just love seeing basketball in different cultures and how much it's appreciated, and it just makes you realize it's really a truly global game. And kind of going there makes you just realize how blessed and lucky you are to play basketball and have the opportunity that we have to be at Cal, because going through your day-to-day life, you sometimes might take it for granted. You're so busy and whatnot, so you don't really take a moment just to appreciate how lucky you are. And then obviously to get to see another country was just a lot of fun and a great experience, yeah.
I tell the story, and I don't know if I've told you this or even if I've told it on the air before, but a really good friend of mine that I used to do basketball games with when I was in the state of Oregon has a business, a basketball company, and he goes to China every month, and he's been doing that for 20 years. And so he knows everybody in Asian basketball. And so about 10 years ago, he tried to set up a 3-on-3 tournament, which has become really popular here in the United States now. And so in the first day, He had 100,000 teams sign up. 100,000 teams. That just gives you a little idea of what basketball is like in China. It is a really big deal. They love the sport. And, of course, we had Max Zheng, who played for the Bears a number of years ago from China, had to leave after 2 years to go back and play for the national team. So it is a big deal. So they support basketball all the way around. All right, speaking of hoops, this last weekend, Arizona State, you got a good run in there, came in, hit two quick three-pointers to help the Bears take a six-point lead at the half. What is it like, because I went through this as well, what's it like coming off the bench, first of all? You don't know when you're going to get in. So you're watching, waiting. And then you don't know if you're going to get 2 minutes, you're going to get 6 minutes. But to come in and to be able to hit that first shot or two, that is not easy to do. What's going through your mind as you're watching and waiting for your moment?
Just the main thing is just to stay ready and stay mentally engaged. And I think it kind of coming off the bench, in a sense, it gives you a good opportunity because you get to see what we're doing out there and what the opposition's doing out there. So kind of get to think about how the guy guarding the position you're going to be in is, how he's defending it, what kind of stuff's going on, where you'll have opportunities to make a play, certain things you have to focus on defense. So kind of being mentally engaged in that sense, like kind of analysing what you can do when you get on the court. And then the second part, I think, is just about being ready and being prepared to like go in at the pace of the game, because the game play, especially at the college level, is such a quick game. When you get in, you just have to be ready to go. People just run, and it's a fast-paced game, so you have to be ready to go. And I mean, my coaches have a lot of confidence in me to play my game and be confident and shoot and just play basketball, so it just makes it easy for me to go out there and be relaxed and just, you know, play confident and be aggressive.
This week, Washington comes to town, as we mentioned, on Thursday. They play the zone defense. They're really good at it. But it's a game in which a guy with your skills can be effective, because there are going to be openings, especially around that free throw line, where you can get the ball, turn and shoot, because they don't have a lot of shot blockers at the center position. Their shot blocker is a guard, Matisse Thybul. So when you've seen a lot of zones this year, what has been most successful in attacking those zones?
I think getting the ball to the high post is probably the biggest one, because once you get into the heart of the zone, it's very hard for them to guard it, because either they stay with shooters and the guys on the perimeter and it gives you opportunity to make a play on the inside, or they sink in into the paint and then you kick out to shooters, and we have a lot of good shooters. So I think when we get the ball to the high post in the short corner and we make good decisions out of it, I think that's when we're at our best. And when we reverse the ball a lot and get the ball moving, swing from side to side and make the zone shift, is, I think, is the biggest thing, is just to keep the zone moving. Because if the ball gets stuck too much, it's just too easy for them to guard because they're just standing still. So I think the biggest one is getting to the high post and trying to penetrate as much as possible. I think also sometimes we don't take advantage of dribble drive opportunities. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when the zone's shifting, there'll be gaps where we can drive and kick, or drive and get into the paint, dump off or finish or something like that. So I think, like, just really attacking that high post area and making the zone shift is the biggest thing.
Yeah, and that's where Washington has had, when they've had problems, that's where people have been able to successfully attack them. And then on Saturday, Robert Franks and the Cougars come to town. I mean, we've been witness to what this guy can do against defenses. He had 10 three-pointers against us last year up there. He hadn't played for 3 weeks and had 24 on us up there again this year. Well, when you've got a guy like that, and he is probably the premier deep threat, I would think, in this conference. I know Matt leads overall in shooting three-pointers from a percentage stamp, but Robert Franks, at 6'7", 6'8", is a big guy, kind of like you, that can step out. What do you have to do to slow a guy like that down?
I mean, the biggest thing is just to make it difficult for him. He's a good player. He's going to make shots, but the biggest thing is to try and run him off the line and not let him get open threes, contest every shot. Obviously, he's tall, has a high release point, so he gets it off. But the main thing is to run him off the line, and if he drives, to just keep him out of the paint, like help early and make sure he doesn't get into the paint, make plays, I think is the biggest thing. I think we'd kind of rather him putting it on the floor than standing on the three-point line just shooting it, because he's, you know, tall and I think he's not as, you know, it'd be easy to help send him in to help defense, to stop him rather than just let him keep shooting the ball. So,
and he's got deep range too. I mean, he's a 35-foot guy. I mean, you have to go out and extend the zone. All right, what's it going to take this week to get that first conference win?
I think it's just the biggest thing for us is putting two halves together. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just watching film of us against Washington. We played them at their home, and you know, we had them up the first half. We're playing a really good game. you know, up on all statistical categories, rebounding, shooting percentage, points in the paint, etc. But the biggest thing for us is the first 5 minutes of the second half, we just need to come out and solidify our lead that we built in the first half. I think the biggest thing against Arizona State, we had a good lead at the start, at the end of the first half, but, you know, first 5 minutes, first few minutes of the second half, we just let them make plays. It became a 2-3 point game, and it was hard for us to, you know, extend the lead after that. They got some momentum, got a lead, and it was hard for us to get us back. So I think the biggest thing for us is just to keep our, you know, keep our foot on the throttle and just, you know, try and extend that lead and just play, put two halves together. But I think that 5 minutes, in the first 5 minutes of the second half, is the most important for us to make sure we come out engaged and locked in.
No question about it. How's school going? I mean, what are you taking? What are the classes this term?
I'm taking a psychology course. So it's called Brain, Mind, and Behavior, because it's kind of like it's kind of like cognitive science / psychology. Okay. I'm taking college writing, and then I'm taking a introductory Croatian class.
Croatia?
Yeah.
Have you been to Croatia?
Yes, I have, yeah.
And where when did you go in Croatia?
I went a while ago. My family's actually from Croatia. All my grandparents are born in Croatia, and then they came to Australia in their 20s, and then my parents were born in Australia. The last time I went to Croatia was probably, it's been a while, I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago. But I've probably been about 5 or 6 times altogether. But I grew up speaking the language. I spoke it before I spoke English, but I kind of just wanted to scrub up on it a little bit because my grammar's a bit – I mess up on my grammar a little bit. So I thought my advisor said I can take a class I want to for fun. So I thought, why not take that, scrub up on my language, yeah.
Well, good for you. I've been to Croatia once, just there for a little over a day. People were awesome. Food was great. I would go back in a heartbeat. I mean, it's become really one of the more popular tourist destinations in the world these days.
Where did you go when you went?
Dubrovnik.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Down there. We were on a cruise.
Yeah, yeah, Dubrovnik's beautiful. That's where I've been before. Most of my family's from that, from around that region, okay, like the Dalmatian coast, a little bit south of Dubrovnik is where most of my family's from. And then part of my family is more inland, near the capital, Zagreb. But the coast is beautiful. Yeah, yeah, very nice.
It is. And like I said, I almost got arrested. I climbed a hillside into a castle, and I shouldn't have been there. But nevertheless, other than that one guard, I really enjoyed my trip to Croatia. I would definitely go back. Hey, Grant, appreciate you taking the time. Stay healthy. Good luck this week against the Huskies and the Cougars, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you, Todd. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Grant Antisevic, a sophomore from Sydney, Australia, is the Bears host. The Huskies at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, and then the Cougars' final home game of the regular season Saturday afternoon at 4. Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, a repeat guest, Rasay Caldwell, the senior who, along with the rest of the team, had a great weekend against the Arizona schools, beat 17th-ranked Arizona State on Friday, a really big game, snapping a losing streak, the Sun Devils. I'm not sure. We might have had one or two players that had beaten Arizona State in their careers, but not many, because I think they'd won like 7 in a row against the Bears. A lot of those really close games as well. And then a miraculous comeback on Sunday afternoon against the Wildcats. So the Bears get revenge for 2 losses on the road earlier in the year and now have themselves positioned to finish out the regular season this week against the Washington schools on a real run going into the conference tournament next week. All right, let's talk with Rasay. And Rasay, first of all, congratulations. You are the Pac-12 Player of the Week, averaged 22 points and shot lights out this past week, including a couple of really big shots against Arizona, one at the end of the second quarter and another one late in the fourth quarter to help put the Bears into overtime and win that ball game. Congratulations. Just tell me what was going right for you this weekend.
I would say it started off with a change in practice. I think that we laid our foundation in practice. We had our best practice week since UConn. Mm. So I think whenever you go and you practice consecutively for 5 days at the intensity and the focus that we were practicing at, we made practices harder than games. We went into the game and we just translated, you know. Shooting at that type of speed during that whole week, everything just felt right. I think you saw that from Forbes as well, mm-hmm, on the Zona game. And even our defensive intensity, I think, translated from our focus and being in practice to the game. So I think just our foundation and practice really led for a successful weekend. That's what we harped on practice today.
Talk about why did it happen last week in practice and transfer into the games as opposed to some other weeks?
Yeah, so coming off the LA weekend was really tough for us when we lost both to the LAs, and knowing that it's a crucial part of our season right now. We knew we had to make a change. Like, obviously, you want to go and you would love to have those games back, but you just had to change. So what haven't we been doing before that's what we try to focus on in practice. We took it up, I would say, like five notches, six notches, honestly. Our intensity was just through the roof, so we just knew that it was time to just make a change.
And the change actually really showed its effect in the second half of those games. I mean, you got down big against Arizona, come back and force the overtime and win that one. So sometimes it's stick-to-itiveness and maybe you want to start a game really well, but for whatever reason, it doesn't happen. I mean, that happens to everybody. So it was good to see you guys getting the wins. Talk about the McKenzie. She was named the Pac-12 Freshman of the Week as well. We always knew she was a great shooter, and it certainly showed itself this weekend.
Yeah, I can't talk enough about McKenzie. I'm proud of her growth, her stick-to-itiveness, like you just said, and the sacrifice that she's made all year. I mean, you think about it, she's a McDonald's All-American, one of the best recruits of the country, you know? And then we have vets on our team, so sometimes the minutes aren't there when the vets are doing well. But she's always ready whenever her name is called. And her demeanor never changes, which is very odd for a freshman, I would say. A lot of freshmen, I think, get down. I've been through it. You get down whenever you haven't had your minutes or this is not your usual role. But she has remained consistent throughout the whole time. And she's known as our team as like our veteran frosh. You know what I mean? I mean, Jeezy says that all the time. And you just notice it in how she carries herself all the time. So when her name was called, she doesn't ever have nerves. I mean, she just came and did her job. That's what we needed her to do, and she did it. And I mean, the secret is in the dirt, like I said before. Kenzie, TZ, and I always go to shoot late night, like 11 o'clock. Kiana's always in there with us. So I think the foundation that we laid throughout the past, what we've been shooting together for the last 5 months, it was more like, this is what we do. So for her to come out and just make those shots, I think the last 15 minutes, 17 points in the last 15 minutes, I think that was a stat that MC said. I mean, it's regular for Kenzie, I feel like, you know? So I'm super proud of her, her first freshman of the week and one of her first mini accolades that are going to come.
Well, maybe part of that comes from being the daughter of a coach, too, you know, kind of knowing what you go through and what coaches go through and how that translates. So it was great to see her come through. Also on Sunday, well, first of all, before we talk about the senior day activities, 4 points and a quarter, and that can be pretty discouraging. And you finished it off by making a bucket to get to four. How do you bounce back from a quarter like that and have the kind of a second half that you had against Arizona?
What quarter was that? That was the first quarter?
Second.
The second quarter? Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know that's that, honestly.
Did it feel like 4 points?
I don't know if it felt so much like 4 points for myself, because I try to have my demeanor stay the same. Whether shots aren't falling, I feel like all of our shots were good shots. Our threes weren't falling, but my confidence never wavered in our guards, ever. You look at the misses, and they were all clean. They were all back rim from Kiana, Teezy, and I. Christine was struggling a little bit from it. We just take her for granted, I think. Everyone does. Those contested shots that she always makes just weren't going. And we know that's our bread and butter, but I felt like we were still locked in, you know. And Jeezy came in halftime and just talked about how our demeanor needs to be a lot better. And whenever shots aren't going, we need to create our own energy. So I didn't know that said about the 4 points, but I was proud of the way that we battled back, honestly. And our demeanor never changed. If anything, it changed for the better. I know a lot of people could quit when they're down, but that's not us. So I was very proud of us.
All right, senior day activities. That's always an emotional time for players, but as much as, you know, parents are emotional too. I've seen some real sob scenes at senior day. What was senior day like for you?
Going into it, I think the previous day after practice, it didn't really hit me till the end of it. when there was a moment where I just saw Jeezy. I got kind of emotional, you know. Me and Teezy went up and hugged her, and we're like, we're not crying today. We're going to wait. so we kind of made it. And then the next day was the game. I was fine through shoot around, fine through warm up. And I'm like, oh, you're going to be fine. You know, you're excited to play the game. And then our last handshake line before introductions mm-hmm. happened in Haas for the last time for me. And I went, and me and my trainer have a ritual where she holds both my hands, and then she tells me, like, you're going to do well, like, just lock in or whatever she's going to say. And I started getting emotional. So that's when it really hit me, like, oh, this is my last go-around in Haas. And just thinking, like, I wish I had a couple more years in Haas. You know, this is such a special place with the fans that we have. I mean, they've rallied behind us this whole year because they know what we can do. That's when I ended up getting emotional. And then we did senior introductions, and I didn't know we did that here, like before the game, which made it so much worse. I don't know. Oh, our trainer, I call her Shugs. Her name's Lauren. She gave me tissue. And so I was like, no, it wasn't. I don't know. I think we may have to change that for the future because.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I've been to locations, including Arizona, where they do the senior deal after the game. Now, the pressure is on to win the game because if you lose the game, then senior day is not as festive. But before the game, can be tough.
I mean, I would say that's it for the first, like for both cases, because we do our introductions and now the pressure is to still win because it's senior day. Like you just went through all that. So I think the pressure's on both ways, but yeah, I'm totally for the after. So I could have stayed locked in a little bit more, but senior day was amazing. Having our families there, and I think it was so emotional because we feel like a family in our mm-hmm. team, you know? I think that's what makes it so bittersweet, you know? But I think that's just the culture that we've created over this past year. And it helped because we have a lot of more basketball games to play.
Yeah. You know? I was just going to mention, because you've still got two weeks in Pac-12 play and then the NCAA tournament as well. We were down at Arizona State, the men's team, for their senior day. And that's weird because they got three more regular season games, two more weeks of regular season, mm-hmm. and then the conference tournament. And then maybe, well, they'll be in postseason, but a long time between senior day and the actual end of a season. So that's just the way it goes in the schedule. Speaking of the schedule, this week you got Washington State. Fortunately, the weather will be good on your travels. It'll be cold in Pullman. The low temperature on Saturday will be 9, and the low temperature on Sunday, the day you actually play, will be 7. Yeah, it does take your breath
California
away.
Kids. Yeah. California kids aren't used to this, so we got to have our...
I'm not sure the Washington kids are really used to it either.
Yeah, but California is always sunny, you know? So
talk about playing those two teams. Relatively close games the first time around. Certainly the Washington game ended up being a 9-point game, 69-60. But these are two really important games for the team, not only for conference seating, hopefully maybe stay ahead of USC, but also for seeding maybe in the NCAA tournament as well. What's the focus this week of the team, just to kind of keep it going like you did this last week?
Yeah, so I think we're a lot better than when we played them the first time. We're looking through film, and it's usually how it is always whenever we look at film for the second time, whenever we're approaching our second game. So film was a lot different. You kind of just look like, wow, like we really used to look like that, you know? and we do know that they were both close games. But it's kind of like we had a great weekend and we need to take it even higher, you know, make even more of a change, which I think our Get Better Tuesday today was even more of a change from last week. So I think we're on the right path. And I think defense is really our focus. I think we're beginning to take pride in it. And I think we saw that during the Arizonas when we needed stops, we got stops. Credit to Kiana and TZ and Christine. I mean, they were monsters on the defensive end. I think Kiana and TZ had one of their best defensive games that game. And Christine was on a string with them when they needed help side. And talk about how hard Aria is to guard. Yeah. I mean, you know. So I think we even stopped her from getting some easy ones that she usually gets. So I think we're just carrying that defensive intensity into Washington and Washington State, try to close out strong and get steam going into the Pac-12 tournament because we know that we can do some damage.
No question about it. The tournament, that'll be a great tournament in Las Vegas this year. That'll be fun.
Super fun.
Yeah, super fun. It is. I know when we go there for the men's tournament, it's a lot of fun because it's just a vibe. Mm-hmm. There's a vibe that doesn't exist anywhere else. So good luck this week up in the state of Washington. Take the gloves, the scarf, the knit hat, extra sweatshirts, whatever it takes to stay warm
snow
up
boots.
There.
Under Armour snow boots.
You might not need the snow, but it's definitely going to be cold. Say appreciate it. Congratulations on your Pac-12 Player of the Week award, and good luck this week.
Thank you for having me again.
So we're going to go from the cold of Washington to a sport that's played outdoors on sand. Maybe not this week in the Bay Area. But we're going to talk a little women's sand volleyball. They're actually headed down to Tucson, so it should be much nicer down there. And the Bears have got a really good program going here. It's a relatively young sport, a couple of years ago. And the Bears last year finished 11th in the country. They're ranked this year off to a tremendous start, 2-0. And they head down to Tucson this week to face some pretty good competition down there. And Mima joining us now. And Mima, let's talk a little bit about sand volleyball versus indoor volleyball, because you play both for Cal. Not everybody does. Some just do one or the other. Which of the two do you like?
Which of the two do I like?
Yeah.
Everyone always asks me that. I love them both equally.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been a sand volleyball player? Has that always been part of your DNA, or did indoor come first?
Indoor came first. I started playing indoor volleyball when I was 8 years old, and then I think 2 or 3 years later, when I was 11, I would say I started on the sand. So it was not the original sport I chose to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most of us started off playing in sand and then moved indoors, as opposed to playing on sand per se. Now, you were born in Serbia, which is interesting. Your folks are from there. You were only there a couple of months, and then you moved to Southern California. Mm-hmm. So I guess down in Southern California, sand volleyball, if people haven't lived down there, been down there, that's a big deal on the beaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's playing it. You got courts all over the place. Was it the thing to do as far as you and your friends were concerned, or did it just happen?
I think it just sort of happened. I mean, I was lucky enough to grow up in a very welcoming and inviting community in Irvine. There's like a huge like Serbian community. Mm-hmm. So on the weekends, we'd always like go to the park and like play on these like, you know, like cruddy little like man-made beach volleyball courts. And I think I just kind of fell in love with it slowly. And then from there, I moved on to, you know, the bigger beaches, you know, the Manhattans,
Hermosa,
et cetera. Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of became a part of my routine, and I didn't really distinguish indoor volleyball from beach volleyball. I just looked at it as another opportunity for me to play and compete within the sport that I love.
Yeah. Well, you went through the ranks and up through the ranks pretty quickly because you've played on some national teams, so you had an opportunity to travel a little bit. You've been to China, Costa Rica, I think. Not Costa Rica?
No.
Were you on a team that was supposed to go to Costa Rica?
Yes. Yes, I was. And then I tore my ACL.
That's when you had the ACL.
I tore my ACL and couldn't go to Costa Rica to play for the USA youth national team. And I also missed out on going to Mexico to play in my first FIVB for beach volleyball. So, yeah, it was kind of a bummer that year. But honestly, I came back a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. And I was able to still represent my country. Represent USA, my country is Serbia. Got to make sure I say that. But I got to represent USA in Larnaca, Cyprus, and Nanjing, China. So that was really, really fun.
Yeah. Well, Cyprus is a pretty nice place to go to play sports or just hang out. that's not bad. So you've had some great experience going internationally. What's it like representing a country when you play internationally?
I don't think that the notion that you're representing a country really sinks in until after the fact. I mean, my partner and I, we were just playing because we loved it and because we enjoyed, you know, crushing other people. It was always fun to, you know, go outside, get your tan on. It was just, it's just one of, like, growing up and playing beach was, like, is very memorable. It makes me kind of nostalgic. I kind of miss, you know, playing in those like youth tournaments, but no, really once after the fact, after we won like bronze, it's, kind of sinks in. It's like, but we just won this, you know, to bring back to the United States, you know, to bring back like prestige for the beach volleyball community and to our families. And I think once like the dust settles, it's a lot more exciting because at first you're like, yeah, free trip to another country, vacation time. It's just playing volleyball in another location, but the magnitude of it really sinks in after the fact, at least for me.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor and a situation where a lot of people don't get that opportunity. So good for you. In addition to getting the free luggage and the free sweats and all that kind of stuff, you get to see different parts of the world as well. Talk about, I mean, your partner actually ended up going to Stanford and playing for Stanford too. So you had Cal and Stanford going on here. How did that work?
She committed to Stanford first, and then I committed to Cal a while later. And then when we learned that, you know, we were stuck together. No, I'm kidding. We wanted to play with each other, and so it was really funny at tournaments. I'd wear a Cal shirt, and she'd be like, wear like a Stanford shirt that said "Beat Cal" or something like that. It was a lot of healthy, like, competition between us and also between the other team. But it was great. It was really nice knowing that we were both going to be in the Bay and that we'd still keep in touch and potentially one day hit the sand again.
There you go.
So,
I mean, Carrie Walsh can only play so long.
I know. Yeah, I'll step in and I'll take her place.
Well, there you go. Now, you're an outside hitter. You're listed at what, 5'11"?
Yeah, that's a lie.
Okay, so how tall are you really?
I don't know. I honestly, like, 5'11", everyone's like, you're such a liar. You're so full of it. But I don't, it's not about the size of the player. It's about the size of the heart. So that's what I go with all the time.
It's not the dog in the fight. It's the fight in the dog. Is another way to kind of describe that thing too. But we had an All-American volleyball player here a couple of years ago who was maybe 5'10", 5'11". She could jump out of the gym. She was a dominant outside hitter. So hitting from the outside, yeah, you'd like to have a 40-inch vertical jump, and you'd like to be 6'5". But it's more than that because you have to have angles, timing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So how do you overcome the size disadvantage when you're facing those folks?
My jump? I mean, I don't know. I think I was just gifted with, like, jumper's legs. I don't know how to explain it. I love jumping out of the gym. I think it just being at that height disadvantage, I mean, being able to like really like, you know, fly through the air and have a lot of vision and see the angles and, you know, kind of be a little bit more cagey of an outside hitter. I think I just bring something different to the Pac-12 that maybe people who think that they are too short to be an outside in the Pac-12 are going to look at it and be like, actually, if she can do it, then I can do it. And that was basically the biggest reason for, you know, continuing on the path of an outside instead of like going to a libero position. Like, I wanted to prove that you can be whatever size and you can still compete at the very highest level.
You have to have a quick swing, and the timing is so important, and all that stuff comes into play. But you stay in. You're one of those. You stay in for all the rotations, so that means you're an all-around player. And to play sand volleyball, you better be an all-around player because you got to do everything, and there's only two of you covering the court as well. How, from a physical standpoint, how demanding is it to play two-person beach volleyball?
I mean, it's a lot of court to cover for just two people. But honestly, in terms of my physical fitness and how I've been able to manage indoor and beach volleyball, I think when I first started when I was 11, it was probably like a shock to my body. Like, what are you doing? I would literally go from a beach tournament, like an all-day beach tournament, to practice. And then to indoor practice. And I'd do that like day after day, week after week for years. And I think my body just really became accustomed to it because I had started so young. So the physical toll is not as challenging as it would be for others just because it's been like 10 years. Like, my body is so used to it. And honestly, it's like a yin and yang sort of situation where I'm not balanced without the other. Like, I need to constantly be playing indoor and then play beach and then play indoor and play beach. So my body's really in for a treat when I stop playing both. But that won't be until I'm like 100 years old. So, but yeah.
It's one of the great exercises, you know, being on the beach, either jogging or certainly playing beach volleyball. Now, I think I was looking at a video the other day. You're actually a teacher. You help teach a class. Did I see that correctly?
Yeah.
What's the class and tell us about it.
Okay. The class is called The Happiness Advantage. It's a one-unit decal. It basically teaches, you know, key concepts like mindfulness, gratitude, kindness, happiness. And I took it my freshman year, freshman fall, just because, you know, I was going into this like unknown sort of situation and I wanted to be as mentally prepared as I possibly could be. And I honestly fell in love with it. And by the end of that semester, they were having like signups for interviews in case people were interested in facilitating the course later on. And I guess they liked me, and they were like, do you want to be one of the facilitators? And I was like, absolutely. So this is my second semester teaching it, and it's been great. My current class is awesome. I think it's really humbling to be in the position of like a teacher, even though it's only a one-unit class. But you kind of have this sense, have this feeling of responsibility, but also this immense feeling of gratitude that you get to share your experience with these people who don't even know you. And then by the end, you hope that they actually like gain some insight or like feel a lot better. So yeah, it's really awesome.
That's cool. What was it about the initial class when you took it that was so compelling?
I think just what it was teaching. It's based off of a book called The Happiness Advantage. And you basically read that book along with the course. It's a super easy, light read. And I think I just felt like this really resonates with me, and everything in here can be applicable to my life. And so I kind of thought, well, if this is applicable to my life, then it's applicable to other people's lives. And I think people like need to start taking into consideration, you know, their mental health, their emotional well-being, kind of start focusing on the little things and not on the material things. You know, and that all comes with like gratitude and kindness. And the best part about it was that you got to go through a happiness like challenge. So every 3 weeks you would switch challenges. So you start with a gratitude challenge and then a kindness challenge, a mindfulness challenge. So you're meditating for 3 weeks and then you're listing things at the end of the day that you're grateful for 3 weeks, and then you're doing random acts of kindness for 3 weeks, and then you do your own personalized challenge. And I think it was really cool to just kind of see the change within yourself and also see how your actions impacted others.
Well, that's an awesome, I got to get the book and read it. Yeah, believe me, because I've had a few times where I needed those kinds of things to take place. All right, you've got change in coach in the indoor.
Yes.
Okay, and so that's exciting. Of course, we won't see that fruition take place until the fall. You guys had I thought you guys had a pretty good season this year. You guys were really competitive in a transition year with Jennifer Dorr, who was the interim coach. So we're all real excited about the direction of the volleyball program. But the sand volleyball team, this thing's really taken off here at Cal, hasn't it? I mean, you're on the number one team. Last year, you did that much of the year as well. What's it like? Tell me about the chemistry that has to develop in sand volleyball with just two people on the court as opposed to, integrating yourself with five others indoors. How does that work?
I think the biggest thing for me after, the stresses of indoor season, my freshman year, just because it was new and it was kind of an introduction to collegiate volleyball, and I was like, this is going to be harder than I thought. So going into beach, it was like, is it going to be the same vibe? Like, how intense is this going to be? And I think beach really allowed me to find who I was amongst this, like, huge group of girls who, like, some of which I knew, some of which I didn't. And the only thing that, I mean, the one thing that I can really speak to is the insane chemistry that every single girl had, and the culture that we created was very like lively, bubbly. It was, it's not like we're still relatively a young program. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're like a USC, UCLA who's experienced NCAAs and won championships. Like, we're relatively new. So it was kind of like, how are we going to build from like something new? Mm-hmm. And it started with the culture, and it just started with every girl buying in, but also at the same time having this level of like intensity and focus, but this like silly side, this like lighter side that I always try to like bring in, that everyone started bringing in. And I think that really contributed to our success. Mm-hmm. Like our happiness was like our happiness, and like the way that we connected with one another was key to the momentum that we've gained. And and coming back, it's the same. It's the same culture. It's still so fun. It's still so light, but still like super intense and competitive. And I'm just really excited to keep the momentum going and see what we can do this season, because we have a great squad. We have a great group of girls. And the biggest challenge is that, you know, at the end of the day, only 10 girls are going to be competing, and the rest aren't. But the support that we get from those girls who aren't traveling, who aren't like competing yet, is just as big as like those who are competing for, you know, those wins. So it's like a whole team effort, and I think that's something that's really special.
You obviously have a good sense of humor. You can kind of sense that in the interview. Did that permeate the household back home with the folks and everybody else? I mean, was it a barrel of laughs around the dinner table every night?
Yeah. yeah, I think just growing up, my parents just wanted to instill in me this sense of like, just be loose, just live life, because what they went through is nothing compared to anything that I've been through. Mm-hmm. And what they sacrificed in order to get me here, it's like me being here at Cal is kind of like paying an homage to them, like a thank you. Like, I want to do anything that I can do to make you guys proud. And so growing up, it was like always joking, always like very family oriented. Since we had such a great Serbian community in Irvine, like every other night, just like huge dinners, just food, laughing, enjoyment, very lively. And I think that just kind of comes with my background. So I was nervous to bring that into, you know, the college atmosphere, but I did, and it's been really great so far. I'm really lucky to have people here, coaches, staff, teammates, literally anyone. It's always good when you see them like smile because of something that you did, like hysterically laughing, just being goofy, just because at the end of the day, this is all going to go away. Like, volleyball is not going to be a part of my life anymore, not a part of their lives anymore. I just like to keep it light and have fun, and also, you know, kick some butt and compete hard.
I love that. That's a great motto. Kick butt and have some fun. That ought to be on a t-shirt, and you should get the rights to that.
Yeah,
and sell those.
Exactly.
You might have to sell them after you graduate from Cal. You might not be able to do it while you're here.
I can talk to NCAA. We can figure something out.
I'm telling you, kick butt and have fun. I think you ought to put it on a t-shirt
kick
and sweatshirt.
Have fun. Yeah. That's my motto for this season. Great.
Wait, we've had fun talking to you. You kicked butt as well in the interview, so we'll get both of those in there. So, Mima, appreciate you taking the time. Good luck this week down in sunny and warm Tucson, and come back with a bunch of victories as well.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right, that wraps it up for this week's Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Special thanks to our guest, Grant Antisevic. By the way, his grandparents came from Croatia, Yugoslavia, and moved to Australia, so his grandparents kind of went a little bit through what your parents did in a war-torn area of the world. So he's got a really good attitude about things as well, and I think that's part of it.
Fellow Slav,
exactly right. And then, of course, Rasay Caldwell, Pac-12 Women's Basketball Player of the Week for the victories over the Arizona schools. They're on their way to Washington this week. That wraps it up for this week. Next week, a lot more to talk about in basketball's. We have some good things to talk about, I'm sure. So for all of us, I'm Todd McKim. Again, thanks for listening this week. And as always, go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.